Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 65 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
But I still don't think anybody knows what that final bill really does as far as the employees.
Democratic Representative Rocky Adkins says a new pension bill could have consequences for some state employees.
The 2019 legislative session has come to a close.
Brady Industries still lacks financing for a $1.7 billion aluminum plant in Ashland.
Proposed work requirements for SNAP could cut off benefits for hundreds of thousands of people.
St. Clair Healthcare has a new president and CEO.
In sports, Rouen and MSU baseball are in action this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 40% chance of showers tonight, mostly cloudy with lows around 53 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The newly passed pension bill might be a boon for Kentucky in the short term, but it could cause problems further down the road. That's according to Minority Floor Leader Rocky Adkins. House and Senate leaders revealed the plan yesterday, the final day of a 2019 legislative session. It would allow the Commonwealth's 118 quasi-governmental agencies, which include rape crisis centers, public health departments, and some universities, to leave the state pension system. Adkins, a Democrat representing Kentucky's 99th district, worries for the employees of those agencies.
And I think that that's the reason you saw a lot of opposition to that bill. Everybody understands that the quasis need relief. We understand that. But the adjustment that were made for the employees, I think there's still some question out there what kind of impact that's going to have.
The plan is designed to save the agencies from bankruptcy, but it could cost Kentucky's already struggling pension system as much as $799 million. The measure now heads to Republican Governor Matt Bevin's desk for consideration.
Legislators gaveled out close to midnight, having addressed their top priority: pension relief for regional universities, health departments, and other quasi-governmental agencies. The controversial plan freezes their pension contribution rates, which were set to spike, but critics worry it could lead to benefit cuts for retired workers. House Speaker David Osborne says his biggest regret is that lawmakers could not coalesce around a comprehensive pension overhaul.
That continues to be something that weighs on the Commonwealth, and it will be something that we will continue to try to address.
The General Assembly also passed bills mandating Kentucky employers provide, quote, reasonable accommodations for pregnant workers and new mothers, banning tobacco use and vaping on all public school campuses, and approving new tax language. It also chose to override Governor Matt Bevin's vetoes of bills dealing with university property, area development district spending, and legislative oversight of the regulation process. Bevin has the option to veto new bills passed on the final day.
Brady Industries still lacks financing for its $1.7 billion aluminum mill in eastern Kentucky. And for the third time, the company has extended the deadline of its ongoing stock sale to investors. Brady Industries said in a statement yesterday that it anticipates landing an unspecified amount of capital from an unidentified potential strategic investor. WDRB reports the stock sale had been scheduled to end Sunday, but now has been extended another 10 weeks to coincide with the yet unnamed investor's potential involvement. But there is, quote, no assurance that investment will materialize, the company said. While still a private company, Brady Industries is trying to sell $500 million in newly issued stock by June 15th, so it can finance construction of the aluminum mill planned for Ashland. So far, the company has disclosed raising $12.4 million toward the $500 million goal. The extension of the stock sale doesn't change Brady Industries' projection that the mill will be built and operating in 2021.
A federal judge has rejected Governor Matt Bevin's Medicaid work requirements. KNN's Haley Hansen has more.
The ruling by District Judge James Boasberg blocks the Trump administration's plan to force some people on Medicaid to work to maintain their benefits. It's the second time in 9 months the same judge has rejected Kentucky's program, which has yet to go into effect. In his decision, the judge said the Trump administration failed to meet Medicaid's objective of providing health insurance to low-income Americans. Governor Bevin says the state will appeal the judge's ruling. I'm Haley Hansen.
A plan to put work requirements on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program would cut off benefits for hundreds of thousands in the American economy. The Trump administration argues the move would push people into the workforce. Kelly Allen, policy outreach coordinator for the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, says the U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates SNAP accounts for 9 to 10% of grocery store sales.
But we know that that number is a lot higher for grocery stores in rural areas. It can be as high as 20 to 30%. These cuts to SNAP in rural communities will have a wider impact than just the folks who rely on SNAP.
Supporters of work requirements have argued that the reduced spending will help ease the federal budget deficit.
The Kentucky Department of Public Health issued an alert stating there is a sudden increase in E. coli cases, and it is linked to fast food. The alert states that cases were reported March 5th through the 25th with children and teenagers who had an extensive exposure to fast food. The health department has confirmed 19 cases, most in central Kentucky, but there are fears that it could spread. For busy parents like Letitia White, fast food is an easy option.
They eat it 5 times a week. It's a lot easier for us, but it's scary because you never know what you're giving them.
The outbreak is not limited to young people. Officials ask those affected to contact their local health department.
We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
St. Clair Healthcare has a new president and CEO. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has more.
The St. Clair Board of Directors announced Donald Lloyd II as the new president and CEO. Officials say they believe Lloyd's background and history of success will lead St. Clair into the future. Lloyd has over 18 years of healthcare administration. He was president and CEO at Christus Health Southwest Louisiana the last 6 years. Longtime president and CEO Mark Neff announced his retirement last July. Lloyd will be in his place starting May 1st. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Spring enrollment numbers are down at Morehead State University. The headcount for students at MSU is down by nearly 700 students since spring 2018. This spring, there are only 8,777 students. This is the first time in 4 years that the university has seen a headcount of less than 9,400 students. Assistant Vice President of Enrollment Services Tim Rhodes says in undergraduate students, MSU is down just 325. But the numbers are not unexpected.
We just graduated a large senior class last May. And then even though we had an increased freshman class in the fall, the overall enrollment in the fall had a slight decline because of that large graduating class, and the two classes behind it were smaller because of a decline in those years.
Rhodes says the numbers seem smaller because some dual-credit high schools are now teaching English 100 and English 200 as a year-long course through MSU instead of splitting them up each semester.
A group of University of Kentucky students have declared they are going on a hunger strike until administration officials recognize their demands related to a, quote, basic needs center on campus. The student group is pushing UK to establish, fund, and staff a physical basic needs center on campus that would distribute funds and resources to students who can't make ends meet. The student organizers of the hunger strike said they are doing it as a last resort.
We have tried academic research. We have tried developing student-run solutions. We have tried rallies, phone zaps, and student assemblies. Nothing has worked. What we are facing is not just resistance to the basic needs campaign. We face a University of Kentucky that puts profit over people. It is time for UK administrators to acknowledge the magnitude of the problem we face and act in proportion.
UK President Eli Capilouto sent an all-campus email yesterday afternoon addressing the striking students. He said he does not agree on every aspect of how to address the issue raised by the students, but that the UK administration will never disrespect concerns raised by them.
The Rowan County Sheriff's Department is hoping to increase awareness about the rise of marijuana edibles entering the community. Edibles are food products infused with marijuana. The warning comes after hundreds of dollars worth of edibles were found in a drug bust last week. Joe Klein is the chief deputy for Rowan County. He says the packaging of the edibles is the biggest issue.
Our concern really is the who it's marketing towards. And it's more towards the younger crowd, whether it's in a sucker lollipop form to cookies or brownie mix, things like that. And that's really concerning to us.
Marijuana edibles are illegal in Kentucky, but Deputy Klein suspects the illicit substances are coming in from out of state. To be more aware, Deputy Klein says to make sure you can pay close attention to the packaging and information of your purchase.
A man's body was found near a railroad trestle on Thursday in Lincoln County. Officials are investigating the cause of death, but believe no foul play is involved. Coroner Ferris Markham tells WKYT the body had been there for quite some time.
The decedent appears to have been there for several months, maybe 2 or 3 months.
Officials say they do not believe the body is connected to missing persons cases in the area.
A Leslie County man said his boss told him he had to be, quote, cleansed to keep his job. Jason Fields filed a lawsuit last week against the Hampton Inn in Hazard and Sharon Linden, the hotel manager. Linden allegedly told Fields he had to be cleansed if he was going to work for her and described it as similar to an exorcism. According to the lawsuit, Linden gave Fields a packet to fill out. The packet included 9 pages of questions, many of which were personal and irrelevant to his job. He filled out the form but then refused to give it to his boss or participate in any cleansing or exorcism. After this, Fields' shift and job duties changed. According to the lawsuit, he said Linden threatened to fire him daily and did not let him take days off. In a statement provided to WYMT, the Hampton Inn said they were aware of the suit and that the company opposes discrimination.
The Kentucky Attorney General's Office is warning the public about a scam which targeted a Woodford County church. According to WKYT, a church received a letter in the mail stating it owed more than $21,000 in delinquent taxes. The letter said the organization needed to pay the taxes or the property would be seized. The Attorney General's office is currently working with local authorities and postal inspectors to find out who is behind the scam. Residents who receive a similar letter should contact the local sheriff's office to verify if there is a tax delinquency before making a payment.
A man suspected of murder in Whitley County pleaded not guilty in federal court to drug charges. Police believe Daniel Nance shot his pregnant girlfriend, Gary Johnson, earlier this month. She died at the hospital. Doctors were able to deliver her baby girl, but the infant died a few days later. According to WYMT, police have not charged Nance with murder, but they are presenting the case to a grand jury. He could also face fetal homicide charges. According to a federal affidavit, Nance is a suspect in an undercover investigation that resulted in the sale of meth from a source in Louisville to people in Corbin. Those are the charges he pleaded not guilty to Thursday. Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight a 40% chance of showers with a low around 53. Saturday, chance of precipitation is 70% with a high near 71. Saturday night, showers likely and a low around 34. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers with a high near 44. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 26. Monday, sunny with a high near 51. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Ashland, it's 67. In Inez, it's 68. In Winchester and Lexington, it's 66. In Flemingsburg, it's 62. And here in Moorhead, it's 65 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff digs into the bulging mailbag and provides answers to curious correspondents.
We're out here at the Creek Studio, and the mailbag has been piling up, and it's quite a sack full. Let's get busy answering missives from our faithful correspondents. Dear John, why do so many people make fun of that fresh-faced new congressperson from Brooklyn? Since when does a person need to have a shred of background, education, experience, or responsibility for knowing history and economics in order to serve in Washington? People with next to no experience at all were lifted, like all boats by a rising tide, with the election of 2000. Why are we expecting more from her than we expected from recent presidents, some of whom had little appreciable political experience prior to serving? Because they're men? Please explain. Signed, Alfonsina. Dear Al, you're right. We have finally reached that lofty height where looking good and being smooth and amusing are sufficient to serve. Actually, you don't even have to be that smooth intellectually. You just have to sound smart now and then. Look at it this way. The experienced politicians got us into this mess, including the crushing debt that will finish us off before too long. So maybe politicians who are innocent as children can bring us up out of our crises. One can hope. Dear Mr. Know-It-All, I've heard you are a Barbara Streisand fan. How could you? Did you know she just defended Michael Jackson's child sexual abuse, saying his victims were thrilled to be there? Is Babs not what we expect out of the paragon of liberal progressive virtue defending the rights of the weaker against the stronger? So why is she not being boycotted for dismissing the gravity of sexual abuse of children? Don't people need people to defend them? Signed, a former BS fan. Dear former, you've forgotten one very important feature of social politics. Liberal and progressive offenders, except for Mr. Weiner, generally get off the hook because, you know, their hearts are in the right place, and hypocrisy is an old-school charge made only by right-wingers trying to divert attention from their own crimes. Babs a perv? No way! Dear Dr. M., is there any evidence that a person's name correlates to their ability? Given the bad luck syllabically challenged presidents have proffered, I'm thinking we need a president with a truly polysyllabic name. Have you noticed this problem? There is a syllabic deficit, one might say, in the last names of presidents. Never one with more than three syllables. Is this syllabic segregation? Is this syllabophobia? What can we do to offset this historic low-syllable privilege in the presidency? Signed, Augie in Fifield, Wisconsin, a web listener. Well, dear Augie, can you say John Hickenlooper? Problem solved. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Naya Andwaza, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Morehead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
It's a big weekend for baseball, and the Cavs try to make it to the Elite Eight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Rowan County baseball team is gearing up for their final game at the Cal Ripken Experience tonight in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The Vikings are 5-2 on the season going into the matchup today with Westerville North, an undefeated team out of Ohio. Assistant coach Rob Ward says Rowan will have to play excellent offense in today's matchup.
We know Westerville North is going to be a stout team for us. They're a really big school out of Columbus area. We played them last year down here, and they were we beat them 2-0. But it was a really tough game. They had some good pitching and some big kids on their team.
First pitch in that game went off at 4 p.m. The game is currently underway. The Vikings return to their home field on Monday. They'll face off with Menifee County at 5:30 p.m. Taking a look at other baseball action in the 16th region tonight, Rose Hill Christian travels to St. Joseph Central in Ironton, Ohio for a 5 p.m. game. Wes Carter travels to Powell County at 6, and Lewis County travels to Montgomery County for an 8 p.m. matchup. In 16th region softball action tonight, Bath County hosts a doubleheader with East Ridge and Calvary Christian. First game is slated to begin at 6. Wes Carter is traveling to Elliott County, and Fleming travels to Harrison County. Both those games are set to begin at 5:30 p.m., and East Carter hosts South Point, Ohio at 6. The Morehead State University baseball team is back on the road to begin a three-game series against UT Martin this evening. The Eagles have been working this week after a 7-0 loss to the University of Kentucky in Lexington on Tuesday. The Skyhawks are coming into the game at 8-15 on the season, but head coach Mike McGuire says that doesn't mean his guys will be taking them lightly.
Yeah, they're much improved from years past, and they've pitched it pretty well. Got three guys that they believe in on the weekends. They've got a couple dangerous bats that we got to make sure they don't beat us. But I think that, you know, they're certainly a formidable opponent, especially playing at their place and constitute playing on the road and how you have to play and so forth. I think it's going to be a good challenge for us, but I think it's a challenge that we're going to be up to the task.
First pitch this evening is set for 7 p.m. in Martin, Tennessee. You can listen to that game live on MSUEagles.com. The Morehead State softball team is set to play in its first true Ohio Valley Conference road games of the 2019 season with doubleheaders against Southeast Missouri and UT Martin this weekend. The Eagles will take on the Red Hawks of Southeast Missouri in a twin bill matchup that's already started this afternoon. On Sunday, MSU visits UT Martin for a doubleheader action that is slated to begin at 2 p.m. You can tune in to this afternoon's game on ESPN+. Live stats for all games can be found on the schedule page on MSUEagles.com. Morehead State University's beach volleyball team will be hosting the program's inaugural Atlantic Sun Conference dual match tomorrow. The Eagles are 8-3 on the season after sweeping Eastern Kentucky on Tuesday at home. Coach Jamie Gordon and his team are preparing for the challenging match.
They're playing really well. They're very even, really at all of 1-5. I think the key for us is going to be if we can, you know, maybe get a point at either 4 or 5s. I think we've been very competitive and really consistent at 1-3. So, you know, our hope is to maybe get 1 point at 4s or 5s and then possibly take be in a position to take 2 out of the top 3 pairs.
The match will take place at the Fazoli's Breadstick Beach tomorrow afternoon on the campus of Morehead State University. First serve goes up at noon and at 2 p.m. The University of Kentucky takes on the Houston Cougars tonight with a spot in the Elite Eight on the line. The Wildcats still don't know whether they will have sophomore forward P.J. Washington in the lineup for their Sweet 16 showdown. Head coach John Calipari talked about Washington's status at a Thursday press conference.
Greatest thing for him is the doc said, you can't hurt yourself, and if that were the case, I wouldn't let him play. Doc said you're going to be in pain after the game if you do play, but you know, how much pain can you deal with? And he wants to play. Now it's, you know, can he play? And we don't know. I mean, if anybody's guessing, you know, we just don't know yet.
The 33-3 Cougars won the most games in college basketball this season and will be a formidable challenge for Kentucky, regardless of whether or not Washington is in the lineup. It's Houston's first trip back to the Sweet 16 since playing in back-to-back national championships games in 1983 and 1984. Tip-off tonight is set for 9:59 p.m. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Reds kicked off their 150th season with an opening day win over the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday afternoon at Great American Ballpark. Pinch hitter Derek Dietrich's 3-run homer in the bottom of the 7th broke a 2-2 tie to give Cincinnati a lead that the bullpen was able to hold up. After the game, Reds manager David Bell talked about winning his first game as the team manager.
You like to try to trick yourself into thinking it's just one game, you know, but it's not. It's special. It's a special day to the city, to this organization. So it's nice to get a win, you know, and to get started off on the right foot. And you always say it's important to get off to a good start, and I think every team says that, but in our case, I believe that. So it was a big day.
Game 2 of Cincinnati's 3-game series against the Pirates is currently underway. After wrapping up against the Pirates on Sunday, the Reds host Milwaukee next week before heading out on their first road trip to Pittsburgh. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Beach Volleyball hosts Austin Peay tomorrow for two matches, beginning at noon and 2 p.m. For more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose amid renewed optimism on the progress of trade talks between Washington and Beijing as Wall Street wrapped up a stellar quarter, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 211.22 at 25,928.68. The S&P 500 was up 18.96 at 2834.40, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 60.15 at 7729.32. CarMax was the best performing stock in the S&P, rallying almost 10% on strong earnings, and sentiment was also helped by Lyft as the ride-sharing company surged more than 8% in its first day of trading. U.S. officials said China had made proposals on a range of issues that go further than it has before, including forced technology transfer. And Chinese stocks surged overnight as the Shanghai Composite gained 3.2% to lead stock indices in the region. In U.S. trade, in the U.S., trade bellwethers Caterpillar and Boeing were both up more than 1.8%. The S&P, the Dow, climbed 11.2% in the first quarter, its best start to a year since 2013, while the NASDAQ is on pace for its biggest quarterly gain since the first quarter of 2012, rising 16.5%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.5% at $60.18 a barrel. Gold was up 0.8% at $1,297 per ounce. And in Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.6%. And in Asia, as mentioned, stocks were very strong, with the Shanghai Composite up over 3% and the Nikkei average finishing up almost 1%. In among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and United Health Group, while the worst performer was 3M. And in the standard or in the S&P 500, the best performers were CarMax and Celgene, while the worst performers were PVH and Garrett Motion. Trading out of stocks of local interest, it was UPS up $1.48 at $111.78, Community Trust Bank down 3 cents at $41.06, AK Steel down a penny at $2.74, Marathon Petroleum down $1.10 at $59.85, Lowe's up $1.12 at $109.49, and Community Trust Bank was up 3 cents to finish at $41.06. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans almost anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Bypass Pawn is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 on Sundays. 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Phone number is 780-7296. Facebook and online, bypasspawn.com.
Programming on Morehead State Public Radio is supported by our listeners, underwriting partners, Morehead State University, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Looking at your region's weather, tonight a 40% chance of showers with a low around 53. Saturday, a chance of precipitation of 70% with a high near 71. Saturday night, showers likely and a low around 34. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers with a high near 44. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 26. Monday, sunny with a high near 51. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Ashland, it's 67. In Inez, it's 68. In Winchester and Lexington, it's 66. In Flemingsburg, it's 62. And here in Moorhead, it's 65 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Logan Pemberton, Tandy Wallingford, Cassidy Stearman, Kinsey Thompson, Grant Johnson, Keneally Roberts, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James and KNN's Haley Hansen. And Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature commentary today came from MSU professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Naya Andwaza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.